Romans 2, 19 through 30. Okay. I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, so that I too may be cheered by news of you. Sorry, getting old, can't see very well. For I have no one like him who will be genuinely concerned for your welfare. For they all seek their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know Timothy's proven worth, how as a son with a father he has served with me in the gospel. I hope therefore to send him just as soon as I see how it will go with me. And I trust in the Lord that shortly I myself will come also. I have thought it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and fellow worker and fellow soldier, and your messenger and minister to my need. For he has been longing for you all and has been distressed because you heard that he was ill. Indeed, he was ill, near to death. But God had mercy on him, and not only on him, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I'm the more eager to send him, therefore that you may rejoice at seeing him again, and that I may be less anxious. So receive him in the Lord with all joy and honor, such men, for he nearly died for the work of Christ, risking his life to complete what was lacking in your service to me. Okay, so today, Pastor Nathaniel will be preaching to us from Philippians 2, 19 through 30. Let's welcome Pastor Nathaniel.
Hello. Good morning. Yeah. Epaphroditus. Weird name, I know. I was practicing. And I still messed up. So, we're in the book of Philippians. And as I've been reading through it and preparing, I'm continually trying to think about our vision and how we can see this vision in Philippians. And I know there's been lots of questions about our vision and what does it actually mean and things like that. And I hope as each week progresses and as we preach that it becomes a little bit more and more clear and hopefully not more and more vague and obscure. And if you do have questions, feel free to talk to any of us. We would love to talk to you about it. I know it can be confusing. I know that having a vision is so important, and I wouldn't want anyone to miss out. I wouldn't want anyone to feel like I feel more confused now that the vision is here than I do without it. And knowing how important it is, we want to make it clear to you. And so if you have questions, please talk to Jamie or myself or any of the elders, like John and Ed and so forth. We would love to have these conversations with you. But anyways, I've been working on what this vision means to me and for our church, and I've been working on what this means for our youth group and what this means for you guys, and especially as I've been reading through Philippians. And so I hope today we can come back with that we could have a drive, right? I talked about, we'll get there eventually, but how a vision, we need to have vision because it drives us, right? We need to know that we're doing something bigger than ourselves. Because if we don't have something really to work for, to strive for, then everything is going to become really mundane. And it's going to get really boring, and you're just doing the same thing over and over and over again. And there's going to be a lot of unfulfillment, right? And if you don't have vision from God, you're going to find vision from something else. And all those visions are going to fall short. Right? Man, I'm going to start a company that's going to have a huge impact on the world. And, you can have big impacts in the world, but it can only go so far, you know? In the end, what did you accomplish? You made a lot of money, and you helped other people make more money, and maybe made their lives a little bit more convenient so they can work a little bit less, you know? And then when Jesus comes back, what did that do for them? right? On his second coming, when he came back, all that work you put in from these visions from the world, like, that's fine, they're good. You know, you need to do due work and you need to have these things. But in the end, what did it amount to? I think Philippians is really asking that question. I'm going to do a little bit of review. Sorry, it's a little bit small, but this is so far what I've seen, right? The progression for the vision for what a healthy church should look like. Talked about it starts with God starting a good work in you, right? From the very first day, we talked about when Paul was visiting Philippians, right? He went to the prison. He talked to Lydia, this wealthy girl who knew God, sort of. And we talked about this girl who was demon-possessed, and the spirit gets cast out of her, and then there's the jailer, right? And Paul gets broken free from all of his shackles, and he doesn't run away. He stays in the prison with everyone else who is chained up there, and the jailer is amazed. He's about to kill himself. But Paul's like, don't do that, you know? We're all here. And the jailer and all of his family all get saved. So from that very first day when I spoke to you, God's been working in your life. You know, you experienced the good news from that very first day. And God's not done working in you, right? So it starts with God working in you. And hopefully, as he's working in your life, you become more and more encouraged by God's love for you. You begin to see, like, his love is so much greater than just him saying your sins are forgiven. Like, that's huge in itself. But that's not it, you know? He continues to love you. He continues to forgive you when you mess up. Not only does he just forgive you and not feel like, okay, I'm not ashamed of you, but he's actually proud of you. He lavishes his love on you as a son and as a daughter. Right? It's not just mercy, but it's grace. It's more than what we deserve. And so you'll become more and more encouraged by him, and your confidence in God will start to grow. Like, man, this is the real deal. You know, I've heard it preached many times that God loves me, and that's great. You know, I believe God is loving, but in my actual experience, I also feel condemned. Sometimes I feel like he's watching me and judging me. But as your relationship with God grows and grows and grows, your confidence in him builds. Like, man, he really does love me, you know? Everything that has been preached about him is true. You're going to find that in your life, right? As if you stay rooted in him, as if you stay grounded in Christ and you're seeking him, right? Those who seek will find. Knock and the door will be open. God will give you these things when you're seeking him, and you're going to find that. And your confidence will grow and grow and grow. As Christ's love flows through you, you begin to love others more, right? We love because God first loved us. You understand what it feels like. You're, man, that's good. You got to share that with other people. You start to consider others' interests as more important than your own, just as Christ considered yours more than his. Right? Christ wasn't looking out for his own interest when he died on the cross. You can't say that, right? That robs it of all of its beauty, of all of its goodness. He saw his Father, God's interest, right? That he would be glorified, that all would know him and be connected with him, and he sought your interest. See, my physical well-being, the loss of that, is worth you guys knowing the Father, is worth you guys being reconciled to him. He sought your interest, right? And as you see that, you begin to do that yourselves. That's what a healthy church should look like. We should begin to see other people's as more important as ourselves. You boldly share the gospel and take part in the great vision of having every name bow at the name of Jesus. Right? This is the big, big picture vision goal, right? One day when Christ comes back, we want to see every knee, every person we know, we want to see them bowing to Jesus. And we, as Canaan, as a church, want to take part of that vision. A healthy church will go and spread this good news. They'll spread how much God loves them, just like he loved me and loved you. And we'll show that through our putting their interests above our own. We will look like fools when we spread the gospel. I'm sure Paul looked pretty foolish lots of times as he was going. You know, standing in the midst of like Greeks, these wise men, these philosophers, and these thinkers, and Paul going against all of their thoughts and ideas, being totally contrary to them, getting stoned for his weird beliefs and being beaten. You know, he looks like an idiot. He's happy to be in prison. Who does that? You know? That's because he can't contain it. He knows this to be true and he has to share it. His confidence in God and his plan, his vision is so great that those physical things don't bother him as much. And Jamie talked about a little bit about last week about how we're growing more and more in the image of Christ. Right? God began a work in you. And we need to strive at this work. It's this kind of, both are happening at the same time. It's like our salvation that we need to work out, but at the same time, God who's working it in us. And how we kind of partner with him. And a healthy church does that. We don't just say, okay, God's doing all the works. So I'm just going to sit and chill. You know, I'm saved. I'm good. No, we take partnership in it. And God's going to give you the desire and the will to do it. And you're going to have joy when you're doing it. Paul had so much joy in his sharing the gospel. It wasn't like, oh man, I have to tell this person this. Oh, I know I'm supposed to. I don't really want to. It's embarrassing and weird. No, he loves it. He has joy. And he talks about we need to do these things without grumbling, without complaining. If you're sharing the good news with grumbling and complaining, it's not going to come across as good news. You know, people can see that. Man, like, they're just trying to be good people. But they don't. Is God really at work within you? Are you hearing his voice? Are you seeing his vision? Or are you just trying to kind of like follow the vision of the church and not really even care what God's really doing? You know? So the healthy church kind of looks like this. And it all starts with just knowing God's love for you. That's the most important part, guys. I hope you understand that. You need to sit there and reflect in there. You need to hear his voice. As you buy into what God is telling you, when your confidence in him grows, all this other stuff will just kind of flow out. Yes, there needs to be some intentional steps, you know. We need to do our part. Like it's our work and his work, you know. But we need to start with having this solid relationship with God. This is the question we're going to ask for today's message. Is it possible to reach this level of healthiness? All those things I just listed. Can you, in this Bay Area, in this church, at your age, reach this level of healthiness? And that's what I'm going to try to answer. But let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for your word and your love and your goodness. And God, even just reflecting back on a couple weeks ago's message, Lord, that you humbled yourself, that your son Jesus humbled himself, that he didn't find equality with you something to be grasped, that God, someone would give up his righteousness, his divinity, his what makes him better than us, and Lord, that he would lay all of that down to serve us. God, that doesn't make so much sense. I'm so grateful and so glad, Lord, that he did. Father, I pray that if nothing else sinks in today from this message, Lord, that that would. That all the members of our church would understand just how loved they are. And that those who have ears would hear it, God. That that would sink deep. That there would be strong roots. That we would have a strong, firm foundation in your son, Jesus. So that, God, no matter the circumstance, no matter whether we're in prison, we lose a job, we lose loved ones, that that foundation wouldn't be shaken. That we'd be confident, even more confident in you. Lord, we pray these things in your son Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Just read to you today's passage, Philippians 2:19. But I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly, so that I also may be encouraged when I learn of your condition. For I have no one else of kindred spirit who will genuinely be concerned for your welfare. For they all seek after their own interests, not those of Christ Jesus. But you know of his proven worth, that he served with me in the furtherance of the gospel like a child serving his father. Therefore, I hope to send him immediately, as soon as I see how things go with me. And I trust in the Lord that I myself also will be coming to you shortly. This is the first example of a healthy Christian, okay? From this passage, from what I see. This is something we could aim for, an actual person in the Bible, you know, Timothy. He was genuinely concerned for others' welfare, okay? Says, unlike all those other guys, Timothy cares about you guys. He wants to see how you're doing. He cares about your spiritual well-being, right? He wants to make sure the gospel is rooted in your lives. He seeks the interests of Christ more than his own. And finally, he has proven his worth through his furthering the gospel with Paul. You see how these three things fit in with my list of things that I've made? Right? God's love, I'm sure, is in him, okay, at the beginning, right? And his confidence is growing and growing, and you know what? Just like Christ put our interests before his own, Paul is saying this about Timothy. He seeks your interest above his own. Unlike all these other people that have been coming to you and sharing things with you, all those guys are seeking their own interests. But here's someone who, like Christ, genuinely is concerned with you guys more than he is about himself. And he's so concerned with you, he is so concerned with Christ, and this vision is so important and real to him. He wants to further the gospel. It's pouring out of him. Everything he cares about is for Christ. I just want to share the gospel everywhere I go. That's Timothy. It's possible, guys. I'm not saying he's perfect. I'm not saying he's without flaw. But I'm saying, like, I believe this is what it looks like to be a healthy Christian. Here's the second one. Epaphroditus. But I thought it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and fellow worker and fellow soldier, who is also your messenger and minister to my need, because he was longing for you all and was distressed because you had heard that he was sick. For indeed he was sick to the point of death, but God had mercy on him, and not him only, but also on me, so that I would not have sorrow upon sorrow. Therefore I have sent him all the more eagerly, so that you would see him again. You may rejoice, and I may be less concerned about you. Receive him then in the Lord with all joy, and hold men like him in high regard, because he came close to death for the work of Christ, risking his life to complete what was deficient in your service to me. Okay? He's a fellow worker, soldier, messenger, minister. Man, if we could say that about our members of our church, right? A lot of you already are like this, and I hope you can see you're already part of the healthy vision, you know? We all want to work and be soldiers and fight for Christ, you know? We want to be his messengers. We want to be ministers. A healthy church should be full of these kinds of people, right? He longs for others. He longs for the Philippians church, right? Just like Timothy. He's concerned for them. He wants to be with them. He loves them. He is to be held in high regard. This is what Paul tells him. This is a healthy person. You know, this is a good... We should hold people like this in front of our church, you know, saying this is what it should look like. He came close to death for the work of Christ. Right? Once again, he puts the interest of Christ over his own interest. You know, he's sick and he could have been like, I can't do this job. I can't do this ministry. Someone else should do this because... physically, I'm not in the right place. I don't know if I can handle this, but man, he has God's vision in mind. His interest, the gospel, furthering of the gospel, is so much greater than his own physical health. How many of us use that as excuses, right? Like, oh, and it might not even be our health, something so serious. It's just like, I have work. I have this school project. I have all this homework. And it's like, yeah, you know, but There's Christ, you know, like his vision and there's your vision, and what, when it comes down to it, if those things conflict, which one's more important? And a healthy church knows and sees, like, man, like, everything that has to do with Christ is far greater. It's greater than my own physical well-being and health. And those are the kinds of people we should hold in high regard. These are just the two examples that Paul used in this passage of healthy Christians. And so here's the big question, right? What are the steps needed to reach this level of healthiness? How does this work for us? You know, that's great. Here's the two shining stars. Everyone hates those kinds of people, right? Like, oh, the teacher's pet, you know? But, you know, that's not the point, right? I think these are two regular guys. Well, Timothy's young. He's probably like a youth group kid, you know? And I don't know Epaphroditus is. But, you know, he's probably an older guy. He's just doing his church ministry, and no one in the churches back then were like, oh, here's like the spiritual elite people, you know? Like, there's probably like the 12 disciples and Paul, and everyone else is just kind of like a regular churchgoer like us. We just kind of go. He's saying, this is possible, guys. You know, but how did these two guys get there is what I want to look at today. How can we kind of follow their example and kind of reach a place where Paul would be like, hey, let's hold Benson in this high regard at our church. You know, like, let's hold Shirley in such high regard. Wouldn't that be awesome if someone just like pointed you out and is like telling the rest of your church, hey, be like this person, you know, be like Zoe. How, he's saying, like, that's something, we can reach that level, you know? You can be that kind of person. And I want to also encourage you that many of you guys are already like that. But our church is doing a poor job of holding you in high regard. And we always are just looking at people like me, the pastors in front, like, oh, this person, you know? And that's kind of sad. And I hope as a church leadership we can find ways to do this, and we're going to talk about that towards the end, but I'm just telling you it's possible. Okay, and this is what I see, that both, all three people, Paul, Timothy, and Epaphroditus, have these things in common, okay? One, they have vision. Two, there's discipleship. Okay? And three, there's going to be, they're changing the culture around them. And I'm going to go through each of these things. So the first one is vision, right? This is a review. I did this 2 weeks ago. The vision provides us with a picture of what the mission will look like as it is realized in the community. Right? We need vision to give us direction, direction from above, something bigger. And we need something bigger than ourselves to drive us. Okay? This is vision. We need vision. We need to hear from God so we have direction, so we have purpose. This was the passage I talked about 2 weeks ago. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. I believe Paul, Timothy, and Epaphroditus all knew this. They had this vision in mind. Okay? They hope to see every knee bow at the feet of Jesus. That's why they all go and spread the gospel, right? They all seek, yeah, it said all this, for they seek not their own interests, but those of Christ. But you know of Timothy's proven worth, that he served with me in the furtherance of the gospel. And this is Epaphroditus. Receive him then in the Lord with all joy, and hold men like him in high regard, because he came close to death for the work of Christ, risking his life to complete what was deficient in your service to me. The reason why they do these things is because they see the vision. Why would someone without a vision from God ever risk their life for the gospel? Right? Why would you go to such great lengths? Why would Paul go to prison, right? It's because he has a clear picture from God on what he's supposed to be doing. And that drives him. How can Canaan take part in this mission of every knee bowing at the feet of Jesus and confessing Jesus as Lord? Are we driven by God's interests? You know, are we driven by our own interests? When you go out in life, when our church as a whole, or when we're working, like, are we seeking to, like, grow in numbers? Get lots of offering, you know, and, like, just be, like, this nice little community that of Chinese, Taiwanese people that kind of get along? Or do we have something bigger, right? Do we have a vision from God? Like, we're going after, we're taking part of His mission, His vision, right? I hope so. Do we seek other interests more than our own? Do we desire for people to bow at the feet of Jesus? That's the first part. Okay, we need to have vision. Otherwise, we're just going to be in maintenance mode. Okay? We're just going to try to make sure all of our ministries are going well, the youth have a place to go, the children have a place to go, the parents have a place to go, and we can talk, and then we can go home, you know? And the end of it, week by week, it's like, what actually got accomplished? Did we just show up at a building together? Or is something bigger unfolding? Is God's vision and plan being made, realized in our community? I'm not saying what we're doing, that isn't happening, okay? And God is so much bigger than our shortcomings, okay? God can fulfill His vision even when we lack sight. And God can be working and doing great things, but that robs us of all of our joy, you know? He's saying, we shouldn't be doing this with grumbling and complaining. It's not like a chore to do this ministry. And so we want to help you catch the vision, right? And we need to think about this together. It's not just the leadership saying, here's the vision for you. You know, we need to be praying about this together as a church. You know, what can we do? How are we helping people bow at the feet of Jesus? You know? And that works both within the walls of the church and outside of the walls of the church. Because I can tell you with a lot of certainty that there's many people who come regularly in this church who are not Christian and who do not bow at the feet of Jesus. And you can act like it or whatever, and that's fine. We're not judging you, okay? But I'm saying ministry needs to happen both inside and outside. You know who needs the gospel? Unbelievers and believers. I need the gospel so much. I need to hear the good news more and more and more. And it's not just me sharing with you guys. You guys need to share with me, guys. With me, you know, like, without God's love and without His goodness, if I just act like, oh, He died for me and that's it, I'm good now, you're missing out. Here's the first thing, right? They all had vision, and we need to have vision. What are we accomplishing? What are we going for? And the second thing I think they had is discipleship. Okay. Paul, Timothy, and Epaphroditus did not reach their level of healthiness on their own. A disciple, if I can put it as simply as possible, is a follower. Okay? A disciple of Jesus is someone who follows Jesus. And that's ultimately going to be following Him to the cross. Okay? You're following Jesus' life. It's going to be following a life where He puts His others' interests above His own. But it's not only a following to the cross, but it's also a following to the resurrection, to new life, to something bigger and greater. I just put the example as my son. Like, my son follows me everywhere. The other day I was just pulling weeds in the garden, and it was so cute. You just start picking up leaves off the ground and asking me to pick them up to put it in the dumpster that I was putting all the weeds in. And you know, he's just going, he's just copying, he's just following. He's seeing my life and he's learning from it. There's this really funny verse in the Bible. I had to do a paper on discipleship one time, and I was reading about all these different parts, and there's this one part where it said Jesus went up to a mountain to pray by himself, and the disciples were there also. So that he went to pray, he was there alone to pray, and the disciples were there. You know what I mean? How are you alone with a whole bunch of 12 guys around you, you know? But that's what it's like to have disciples, to have people following you so closely, watching your every move, learning from you. The youth, right? I had a bunch of them come to my house yesterday just for fun to hang out. And, you know, they can see my life and what I do and what I care about. Maybe it wasn't such a great example, but it is, that's just how it is. You know, they can see it. I was just thinking today, it's kind of funny. I'm like, you know what? Jesus was probably my age right now. And the disciples were probably a lot of the youth's age at that time. And it was just a funny, weird, strange image I had. And it's like, man, like, I can take part in the ministry, you know? Like, I'm not so young, and they're not too young either. And it's just like, we're all trying to do this together, you know? And we all need people to look up to. We all need mentors. And this was actually my New Year's resolution this year. I hate New Year's resolutions. But I get mentored by Pastor DJ, the Mandarin pastor, every Wednesday, and he's really into New Year's resolutions. And so I was like, all right, I'll think about it. And for me, what I'm thinking is I want to be more intentional about having people speak into my life this year. I want to meet up with my good friend, like peer, and I also want older people to speak into my life regularly. And part of the reason why I thought of that was because I feel like my dad, who is also a pastor, if I was thinking about his shortcomings, I feel like that's something he's missing. He doesn't have a lot of friendships in his life anymore. He doesn't have many peers or older people speaking to his life. And I feel like sometimes he gets stuck because of that. And for me, I don't want to be like that when I grow up. I respect my dad a lot. I want to be like him. I am like him, but I want to be better than him. I hope my son wants to be better than me, you know? And that's one way that I want to do this, is I want to have people I can follow. People that can teach me and help me grow and to help me catch the vision, right? Paul is an apostle and a disciple of Jesus Christ. He follows Christ's example. Paul didn't seek his own interest. He laid it down. I mean, Jesus laid down his life. And Paul does the exact same thing. He follows him saying, look, if Jesus is willing to die on the cross, I can go to prison. Right? I've seen it. And I think Paul's relationship with Jesus is like ours, but a little bit different. He had actual vision. Like, he saw Jesus like right in front of him. He was blinded and physical things happened to him. And this is why he calls himself an apostle. Even though he didn't meet Jesus before his death and resurrection and back to heaven, you know, he still counts himself as an apostle and an eyewitness of Jesus because there's this crazy connection there. God spoke to him and he saw it. He saw the vision. He wanted him to go preach amongst the Gentiles to spread the gospel, and he took that to heart, and he followed Christ's example on how to do it. He laid down his everything, his job, you know, his work, his source of income. He laid down his health, right? All of it. He followed Christ. For they all seek after their own interests, not those of Christ Jesus, but you know of the proven worth. This is about Timothy. That he served with me in the furtherance of the gospel like a child serving his father. Paul followed Christ, and Timothy followed Paul, as did Epaphroditus, okay? Timothy was like a son to Paul. That's discipleship, you know? Paul learns everything just by through Paul's example. And I'm guessing Epaphroditus did too. He's like, man, if Paul's willing to risk his own life going to prison for us while we were in Philadelphia, and now he's in prison again, hey, I can risk my life for Paul. Right? As he says, he came to Paul because, I'll just read the verse 30. Because he came close to death for the work of Christ, risking his life to complete what was deficient in your service to me. Epaphroditus went to go meet that deficiency in the service to Paul, even though he was ill. Okay. He's like, Paul risked his life for me and for the church. I can risk my life for him. He learned from his example. We all need help in our spiritual progression. We all need people to look up to and to follow. It is easier to follow the vision when we aren't doing it alone. And it's even easier when there's someone to help guide you in how to reach that vision. Right? You don't know how to be a healthy Christian, how to be a healthy part of a healthy church? That's understandable, you know? We're not asking you to do this alone. We need to all be doing this together, you know? And if you're really confused and you want to do more, I encourage you to seek guidance. Find someone who you think is a healthy member of our church. See, find someone who you're encouraged by their lifestyle and seek to follow them, you know? Follow their example. What are they doing? You know, we're all like normal people here, but there's got to be some people in here you respect and hold in high regard, you know? And their faith. Talk with them. See with them, man, how come you do this? What drives you to do this? Ask them questions. Follow their lifestyle, you know? Parents want to see your kids grow spiritually? Show them how. Let them follow you and watch you. If your life is all about your work and being successful, they will probably learn that to be of great value. They are learning your vision just by following you. All the disciples and Paul, they all followed Christ and they could see his vision very clearly, what Christ was trying to do. And they learned from his example just by being with him all the time. Many of you parents, your kids are with you all the time. They're watching you. They know what's important to you. They know how to please you. And if you're just showing that your work is the important thing, you don't have time for your kids, and you're just going to be working all the time, that's the vision they're learning. That's what they're picking up. That's what they're following. It's all about being good, being respectful, and doing your due diligence, and getting, you know, making it to this level. Is that the vision you're setting? Discipleship is not some crazy thing, you know? It really is just following. You know how you get followers? It's when you have vision. Leaders have vision. And people are drawn to them. Because they see that they're after something big. They're doing something important and different. And some of you guys are leaders, whether you like it or not. But where are you leading your people? This is something I need to learn as a new parent. My son is still young, and so he doesn't quite know what he's doing. He's just following me, you know? And I wonder what he's learning from me. I don't even know. I'm unaware most of the time, you know? I didn't tell him to follow me into doing the gardening. But if he's doing that, I wonder what else he's watching me do, you know? He's watching me on my phone all the time. And he's like, hey, like I'm over here, you know? I don't know. He's so small, he's not communicating, you know? But that's very possible. I wonder if he just saw me praying all the time, if he'd start praying. That's not how it is, you know, but it could be. What's the vision, you know? Who do we look up to? Who are we following? And as a church, a healthy church, I hope we're teaching you to follow Christ. The third one is a little different, a little abstract, but it's this idea of culture change, okay? If we want to see Canaan grow to be healthy, there needs to be culture change. We can't stay the same as we are, right? Our values need to change. We need to demonstrate what we value through our actions. Who and what do we praise? Are we looking for how many people are in our church building each week? Are we looking for how much money we're raising? Are we happy to see how many different small groups and ministries are being run? Do these things reflect Christ's interests or our interests, like Canaan's interests? You know, we got to be real with ourselves. What is our church trying to accomplish? This is one small example of what I saw in culture change in today's passage. They are to receive Epaphroditus and men like him in high regard. Instead of holding like successful people or like our pastors or like these people like up here with high regard, like we should be praising and like showing off and like respecting people that lay down their lives, you know? They're doing the ministry. We should be like celebrating when people are fulfilling what it means to be a healthy church, like a healthy vision, you know? And I don't know if we're doing that. That's just a really small thing that we could do. We should be praising and uplifting those who are doing the ministry, who see the vision of God and are like pushing for it and are there, you know? We should... This is my idea that I had that I feel like God was kind of speaking to me is I was thinking about our vision, healthy intergenerational faith community. I was thinking discipleship meets all of these four words of this category. Okay? It's this idea that we have older people, right? Demonstrating the faith to the younger. A healthy church should be showing them by example through their lifestyle. And it's not just like the adults, like you know everything, the kids don't know anything, you know? We're doing this together. We're all, while they might be following you, we're all ultimately following Christ, right? A healthy church, we should be working together, you know? Both young and old, we should all be seeking to follow Christ. And this is just one idea that I had that we could meet our vision. We should find ways, you know? I'm still going to plan. I'm actually going to put this into practice. I want to hold a class or maybe get the parents together and talk about how can we disciple our kids? How can we set the example? And one thing we could do, you know what? Is hold them in high regard when they are following the vision, when they're doing something right. I know too many stories and too many examples of like Asian parents like, you always find the thing to scold for. It's never enough, you know? But what if we did it on the opposite side? What if we like held them and praised them with high regard when they did something that followed Christ? And not just praised them when they did well in like an academic sense, you know, and this kind of thing, and we were like, hey, this is actually more important. And I think a really big part of the class would be actually on the parents' lives. Your kids are watching you every day. What are they seeing? You know? Let's make habits of seeing other people's interests above our own, you know? Let's show like, hey, man, I can put a time some of my work to spend time with my kids. You know? That I can love them, that I could take them out. You know, I could do something special just for them, just because I love them. My son loves basketball. Hey, I'm going to take him one day. This might even be too crazy. And you know what? I'm going to take him courtside at a basketball game. Because that's one of his dreams. And you know what? He's worth it. And I see his interest as more important than this money I need to save up right now. You might think, you know, that's not so spiritual. But it is. It speaks so much volume, you know? Just something like that. We got to change our culture. We got to change our values. Otherwise, if we don't have that vision, if we don't see what we're going for, we're just going to be in maintenance mode. And every week's going to be the same. And your kids and the generation after, they're watching. Saying, oh, it's just about showing up on Sunday. That's what matters. That's what counts. The vision is to hear God's word for 30 minutes, sing a couple songs, and God's good with us now. And when we go back home, we can do whatever we want. That's the vision they're seeing. But if we have a bigger picture, and you're following it, you know, you're spreading that gospel, the generations after, they're going to see it. And when they see that you're onto something big, you will gather followers. People will want to see. They will want to know. Jesus had a very, very big vision. And so many people were drawn to him. because his life was so much bigger than himself. I hope this is helpful a little bit. I'm still working this out. I'm still trying to hear from God. I'm still trying to figure out what this vision looks like. And I'm sharing my perspective. It might be different than some of the elders and the pastors, and we need to work on this together. But this is how God has encouraged me through today's scripture reading. I believe that this is something we could do as an English ministry. We could change our culture. We could change the culture for our kids and their kids and so forth. We just need to start from hearing from God first. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, God, just for your vision, for your life-giving words. Thank you for men like Paul and Timothy and Epaphroditus, God. Such men should be held in high regard. I pray that we would have a culture that holds those kinds of people in high regard. That our culture would be different than that of the world around us. That we desire to be like those who lay their lives down for the sake of others, who have your Son Jesus' interest in mind. Once again, Lord, I just pray more than anything that everyone in this room would just be rooted in your love. My God, that their confidence in you would just continue to grow and grow and grow. I pray for myself, Lord, that I might be an example. That God has a place in leadership, that I'd be aware that people are watching and they're seeing. And God, I pray that my life and those of the leadership, that we would have our eyes set on you, that the vision would be made clear through our lives. And I pray that for all the members of this church as well, that even if the pastors, the leadership, isn't focused on you, that they still can be, and that they could be an impact and make big change, cultural change in our church. And Lord, we pray these things in your Son, Jesus' name. Amen.